This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. One of the best days of the entire year, championship week on a Friday. We're live, sports betting capital of the world. Biggest sports book that you're ever going to find. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard with you for the next 3 hours on today's program. As you can imagine, heavy college basketball. Richie Baccalieri in studio in 30 minutes. We'll go over tonight's slate. Longtime Vegas odds maker. We'll go over numbers on games for tomorrow. Projected matchups as well. Greg Hoops Peterson on the show coming up in 90 minutes. And Bruce Marshall. I like what you called him during the, before the show started, Pauly. He's going to the games out here in Las Vegas to the Big West tonight. You said Big West commissioner.
He is. He loves the league. Knows his stuff. Goes to all the games. That's right. He loves the Big West. Can't wait till tonight. It's good. What? The epidemic continues of teams cannot close games. What is it? Why can't you take care of a lead?
Well, which game do you have in mind? We've had so many.
I'm talking for 2 weeks. I'm talking in general. Why can't you hold leads?
How did the Clemson game possibly land where it did?
I can't believe it. Number one, it's a disaster for a landing spot. Pick up to two, falls one. Clemson's up 15 with 3 minutes. Falls one.
Couldn't hit their free throws. North Carolina makes every imaginable three-pointer down the stretch.
Yep. George Washington catching 6.5, up 14 at the half. And then they lose by 8, and then they fouled with 1 second left.
Now, how they did not cover that game is just beyond astonishing.
Yep. See, the TCU thing I can understand.
What, going over?
Yes, 14 points in the last 18 seconds. I make a three, I foul. I can see it. That I've seen before.
I know, it just sounds hilarious.
I just don't understand 12, 15, and it goes back to last Saturday when Richmond's up 30 and lost the game. Mm-hmm. Fourth time ever that's happened. I don't know why these leads continue to evaporate and teams can't take care of the ball. It happened in the NBA, too. I mean, it's affecting everyone, and nobody's safe. I mean, Golden State blew an 8-point lead with 90 seconds against the god-awful Bulls the other night.
Yep.
So take care of the ball, kids. Make your free throws. They're free.
And one game that just ended, and the other one is starting right now in the SEC. Florida took care of Kentucky. Did not cover, however, and that game went way under the total. And we've been talking about it on this show for a long time. Florida in the second half, they have played three times this year. Kentucky covered all three times in the second half. They are the fly in the ointment to the Gators because they are a second half machine. And now that game underway, I have a couple of bets in pocket here. I kind of split a unit and put it on Tennessee Vanderbilt first half under 68.5. And I have the game under 147.5. And that is in the first 90 seconds of the game, Vandy with a 2-1 lead. And I'm also, this goes back to yesterday on the show when the number first opened up in the Big Ten. I'm not going to really even call this a sweat. I'm holding Wisconsin plus 8.5 in pocket. That number was all over the map. Today, earlier this morning, they got as high, Illinois did as high as 9.5 and then back down to 7.5. Illinois, like almost quite literally, cannot miss in the second half. Before we came on the show, they showed a stat that Illinois was 5-for-5 in the second half. Right after that, they then missed a three, but a big guy down low got the layup for an easy putback. So they cannot miss, and Wisconsin is out there missing layups in this game. So they're down by 13 right now, and I'm not even going to say I'm sweating it out because I have no faith, because the Illini, this is what you get involved with. When I bet on Illinois, they're not good offensively, and when I bet against Illinois, they cannot miss. And this is, what we're seeing today from this team is one of the reasons why they're going to be a two seed and one of the reasons why people think that they can potentially go on a deep run. Defense is not great. Offensively, they are as good as anybody in the country.
Yep. See if St. Bonnie's can have the magic continue. Big dogs against Dayton. They're down 5 with 6 minutes left. The 13 seed that only won 4 conference games, trying to win 3 in a row. Winner gets St. Louis tomorrow in the semis. Dayton just beat them. Sam Houston leads Kennesaw by 6. Winner plays Louisiana Tech tomorrow in the final. Conference USA. And Tulsa had a good year. And I'll ask Richie Baccalieri coming up, is he concerned about these teams like Tulsa and Wichita and South Florida and even the teams in the Big West and WAC tonight that had a week off and got the byes either into the quarters or into the semis? Maybe as much ado about nothing. But here, Tulsa came out flat. In North Texas, that's played a game was up 15-0. And Tulsa had a good year, but they're down 10 early in this game with 11 minutes left in the first half.
So they're the 3 seed, North Texas the 6. You're right, 24-14 right now, North Texas. And Tulsa's still favored in the game. They're minus 135 on the money line. They're a 1.5-point favorite, minus 120 at DraftKings as well. This show is brought to you by ProfitX. And right now, you can win a free trip worth up to $10,000 during March Madness with King of March. Use the code VSINMM. Also, the decision by the Big 12. Late night, last night, action, making up their minds. We made a mistake. Yeah, you think? Why would you throw a gimmick out there for the best conference in college basketball and have these kids play on a glass court with LED lights changing on it, on a slam dunk, like inside the three-point line? It looks like a glass was shattering. And advertisements are going all over the court. Players are complaining how slippery it is. The one kid from K-State said their teammate got a migraine, had to go to the bench right away. What was the point of doing that? I was hoping there was going to be a good betting angle, but really nothing really surfaced before they decided to go back and play, you know, on hardwood courts, which has been the the real basketball surface for the last 100 years.
Can't get a universal opinion on anything, but it was on this one. So there was a consensus, and all the coaches said they did the right thing going back to the old floors. So, yeah, live and learn. I know, but that's it was bizarre. But now they're making the change. So we'll see how that impacts the games moving forward.
You have a bet on either of those games tonight?
Yeah, I like Kansas catching a bunch. I think Kansas is live in that game.
That's a big number.
Yep.
What do you think? Arizona's...
And I know everyone's making the revenge angle here for Iowa State, and they've been great in this tournament. But, okay, maybe. But they just played and got blasted. So we'll see. But then again, they know Arizona's got a 1 seed in their back pocket already as well.
That's very true.
So tinfoil hat guy checking in. I will point out, tonight in the semis of the Mountain West, San Diego State and Utah State are leaving the conference to go to the new Pac-12. Do they get calls? I'm going to throw that out there.
Well, you are a big conspiracy guy, so I'll buy in for a minute here.
Think there's something in that?
I'll humor you, yeah.
Maybe they don't get calls, and maybe they would love to see a New Mexico-Nevada final because they know Utah State's already in. Same thing applies tonight in Utah Valley with the WAC, Utah Valley. They're leaving the league as well. Now, you could say you're going to get a team in it anyways, and maybe you want Utah Valley, your best team, to represent your conference and maybe win a game. But I think definitely the Mountain West with these teams leaving, with 4 teams left and 2 of them are leaving the league, I'm interested to see what kind of a whistle we have in this game tonight.
Did it apply in the West Coast games with Gonzaga involved?
I would say no, but also Gonzaga's good for business, even though they're leaving, but certainly
they definitely
Gonzaga, they're getting a great seed, though, too. But Santa Clara had their chances, and they were game and had the lead in the second half. But that's just something to monitor, too, I think. And note the start time on that second game. Midnight tip on the East Coast. San Diego State and New Mexico.
I like the late-night West Coast action in college hoops for this week, and in general anyway. So give us a couple of games later on that night. I already got the hall pass from Lorraine today.
Good for you.
And I didn't even really ask for it. Last night trying to watch games with a little toddler who's going to be 2 years old wasn't exactly easy. And so I just made the executive decision. Yeah, I think I'm going to stay at Circa for the games tonight. You and Bash can hang out or go to your friend's house.
There you go.
What do you think?
It's a great night.
I had to do it. I mean, it had to be. So look at this now. Dayton is they're leading St. Bonnie by 2.
Oh boy.
The Bonnies won't go away. Dayton 59-57 in play. They're 3.5. I wanted to point this out quickly because I know that you have Dayton to win the conference. So when St. Louis was getting absolutely throttled today.
I gave up on the game. I said, that's it.
Well,
I did win-lose. I sent it to Luke. I put it next to George Washington. Yeah, winner. Like, win some. Plus 250 money line.
Yeah, live in play. GW was a monstrous favorite to win the game.
Uh-huh.
So at the time I'm looking around, no sports books, legally speaking, had conference numbers up. Prediction markets, they don't go down for anybody. So I took a little slice of Dayton tailing you at like plus 615.
Yeah.
And now I don't even know if to get out of this round.
Yeah.
The Bonnies and the Woj Bombs as a 13 seed clinging to life here.
Yep. Still 3-1 in play to come back and win. You want to get nuts? Clemson's 15-1 to win the ACC. Seton Hall's 12-1. Oklahoma's 80-1. Tennessee was 13-1 before they tipped off. And those are some big boys that are still out there with the prices in the Mountain West. You know, Nevada just beat Utah State. They're 7-1 to win this.
Yeah.
So that's definitely live tonight.
I'm glad that you brought up Oklahoma, Paulie, because what do you make of that number tonight against Arkansas?
I bet Oklahoma.
Boy, that's a big number.
Yep, I think it's too high. Plus, they know if they win, they're in the tournament, I think.
Yeah.
It goes back to who wants this. So you updated Lenardi. First four out, Oklahoma. First team out. They win, they're in tonight. Auburn, season over, can't improve, bye-bye. New Mexico, and then San Diego. So the loser's out tonight, and the winner probably still has to win the conference tournament, but the winner of that game will have a case, depending on what goes on around the country. And then the last four in, VCU, Missouri, SMU, and Texas. But three of those teams are done, so can't improve.
Okay.
Yeah, so and you got everyone on the bubble. Season's over except Seton Hall. But Seton Hall's going to have to win not only tonight, but then beat UConn tomorrow. And they won't get an at-large. So that's where we're at with the bubble. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. And March Madness can take you anywhere in the world. Their ProfitX tournament contest, King of March, free trips, and up to $10,000 up for grabs. $1,000 in volume puts you in for the $5,000 trip. $10,000 in volume puts you in for the $10,000 trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, covered. Keep winning in sets of 10 and keep earning entries. Download it now. Get ProfitX and use code VSINMM. Become the King of March. Great contest. ProfitX, code VSINMM.
Give you another one a little bit later on in the Big East. Georgetown was the real deal last night. They were clearly the better team compared to Villanova.
Yeah.
It's a big number they're catching tonight against UConn. Yep. That is currently sitting at 15.5 out there. Win-lose coming up next. Excruciating beats with the evening slate of games. Even this morning, Paulie's going to detail what happened coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can compete to become the King of March and win free trips up to $10,000. Download the ProfitX app and use the code VSiNMM. Strong half an hour coming up right now. Hold your tongue. Richie Bacciolari. Hold on. Hold your tongue. Richie Bacciolari, longtime Vegas odds maker with us now.
I'll put you in a rear naked choke right now, old man. That toothpick will be...
You're going to swallow that toothpick.
I should wear my Zeppelin shirt.
Okay, so we're going to coming up in about 15, we're going to get numbers, projected matchups, or number games that are already set for tomorrow from you. Let's go over some of these games that we have tonight.
Okay. There's no game set for tomorrow yet, I don't think.
No, I know, but I think we'll go over some projected numbers. Okay.
Is that on Cornell's home floor?
It is.
Why is that?
I don't know. They probably rotate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has it changed things for you?
I gave him a point and a half. Okay. Yeah. I gave him a point. I could take five with the homer.
Okay. Let's establish this first. At this time of year, you've told us this before. If a game is off by, 2 points, automatic play for you?
Yeah, but I barely find games 2 points off this time of year.
So if it's a point off, you're going to fire?
Then I'm like you guys. I'm a degenerate. You know, I got to bet. Mm-hmm. I got to gamble. I got the urge to gamble, so I play something. But it's not recommended. I mean, these numbers are rock solid.
Sure.
Better to be a bookmaker today than a bettor. Except with the GW game coming seven in overtime. God. That's got to be painful.
Yes. They fouled
that's
1 second left.
I blocked all those out when I was booking. I don't remember none of those middles.
Yeah. Terrible.
But that's bad.
Yeah. How about the Clemson? How about the Clemson landing spot?
Do you have anything in pocket for games going on as we speak?
I do. I'm sweating out the doggy here with whiskey.
Same here.
And I'm against Tulsa. I took the 9. I couldn't pass that up. Was it North Texas, I think?
Oh, wow. You're up 16.
Yeah. No, I know. I very rarely get these, but I need whiskey to make it count. You got to hit them both.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's two units.
Damn right. Damn right. Two units. You got it.
It's brutal.
Dayton, you hung on and won. What do you make Dayton, St. Louis tomorrow?
What'd they win by? And I'll tell you.
Yeah, it was tight the entire time there in the second half.
I saw four.
Yeah, well, I laid six there, so I kind of figured I was going to lose, but I had a latest six. Bonnie's effort yesterday. I've been doing some coming back against teams that played well yesterday. Mm-hmm. So who's the matchup? Dayton-St. Louis. Dayton-St. Louis. Giving a cinco. Five spot. St. Louis.
Too high.
That high, huh?
I like Dayton.
Well, okay. You know, how much you want?
Got that.
Windows open.
I'm going to
write it down. Friendly bet.
There you go. How much have you downgraded St. Louis in, I don't know, recent weeks?
A little bit. You know what? I do need to look at a V. I saw he was in the game, and I saw he only played 12 minutes a couple of nights ago, and I read he had the plantar, whatever it's called in the foot, the plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, you're close.
Whatever
I think
that's it is.
Yeah.
I got to take a look at him, but I'd go five on that game.
Let's do it.
What was your question?
No, I think you answered it just now.
Your level of concern, though. I mean, they were off to a house of fire, and they're limping into the finish line.
Well, there's been a couple of teams, as we've seen coming into the conference tournaments, that they had such great years, their ratings get so high. But once you get the conference tournament time, you really got to think about bringing them a little bit back down to earth. The VCU, as much as I like VCU, they're kind of falling to that pattern. They went into a nice run. Rating gets increased. Numbers get a little higher, but now they got their game tonight. And the nine turned into an eight. So same thing. They bet against that. You know, they bet on that play.
Duke's first game since we learned of the injuries last night. Lucky to survive Florida State.
I mean, that's a tap out game you look back on, and I know it's easy, but boy, I took 18, I took 17 and a half, and I wish I bet all my money and yours too on it plus 17. Tonight's a little different.
Are you doing the same thing tonight?
I'm going to play the dog, but I'd rather get more points. I mean, the coach, the Clemson guy, the coach is great.
Uh-huh.
They said that the Shire, what's the Duke's coach name?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Whatever his name is. He kind of went in with the, I'm not looking to win this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kind of came out and said, I got to get healthy for the big one. They lose the big kid. The problem is the Clemson lost their big kid.
Mm-hmm.
The kid from Utah State or Utah Valley, good kid. Last time he was out, they lose at home, I think, to Florida State. I'm going to probably go in on something if I can grab 11. And if I'm going to grab 10.5, I'm going to bet with Paulie's money.
Okay. I'm willing to bet that you like Seton Hall on the points tonight.
Seton Hall against the Johnnies.
Yeah. Am I right?
I lean that way.
Okay.
I think I made it like 7.5, and I think it's like 8. So I'm not really getting the number that I want. But I think both the you know, I'm looking at the angle on the East tournament, and, you know, Connecticut lost last year in their second game in the tournament to Creighton. So tonight's a little different. They had the cupcake game last night. Now tonight, does he show up or does he practice the same philosophy? Just get ready for the tournament. The Big East doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at both dogs in the Big East tonight, thinking that maybe you get a little they're coming back down, taking it easy, not putting the full effort in.
Yeah, I wanted to follow that one up with Georgetown looked like the real deal last night. They were clearly the better side.
Well, after 0-7, coming into a 3-0 now, they went 3 in a row. They've been, you know, the Lewis kid was out. He's some kind of stud, I think. I don't know too much about him. He's like 15-5 on the year. They went definitely got worse. But now, all of a sudden, you get accustomed playing without the guy. They beat Nova last night, and you got to take the points tonight.
You buying into this revenge angle with Iowa State? How about Arizona at this price?
Oh,
or is it the same line of thinking? I got the one seed in my hip pocket. I just get out of town?
Yeah, I would think so. The problem is the number just seems so low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm on Arizona. It's a sucker side. There's no doubt it's a square side. But, you know, they've just played. They were up 20. They beat them by, you know, they won by 15, but they were up 20-21. It was comfortable.
Right.
Iowa State kind of falls into that same, you know, they had the beginning of like 20-2, and then they start coming back down to earth, and they finish the season off 5-4. I think away from home, they're only 5-5. I don't know. They just look too powerful to me, Arizona. They look like just a real top-tier team, and I'm on the favorite. I laid 3, like minus 18 or something, and yeah, that's, you know, go ahead, rip me for being on the square side.
You're great.
Go ahead, rip me.
This circus.
Yeah, I know you want to.
I think it's a sucker benefit.
I don't have a problem.
You like Tool over Metallica now.
No, I do not.
No, look,
You dismiss Tool.
If Arizona's like 5.5 or 6.5 in this game, I'd say that's a sucker side. 3.5?
Well, I don't know. Who do you like?
I like Arizona.
Okay, then we're both on the square side.
You go. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't care. It's Arizona.
Okay. Let me We're tied here. Bucky in Illinois, we're tied at 74. Let me go tinfoil hat guy. I'm trying to channel my inner Alan Boston in the Mountain West. Utah State and San Diego State both play tonight in the semis, not head-to-head, but they both are leaving the conference going to the Pac-12.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. Will they get a, they're not going to get a nice whistle tonight, are they?
I don't know. They're both leaving?
They're both leaving.
I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion on the game. I made it 1.5.
I trust the
Aztecs. San Diego State against New Mexico.
Yeah. Split.
Yeah. Utah State.
Just played. Reno got him.
Yeah, I know. And I kind of lean Utah State. Once again, another favorite. It's very unusual for me to like these favorites. And I don't know. I can't understand why I'm so high on these favorites. And I'm on, okay, you know, Arizona, I made 6. You know, Utah State, 7.5, 8. So I'm on Utah State. I'm looking at them. The Rebel game, you know, Rebels gave them the beat the 2 games. They beat them. Last night figured for Utah State to come back, and I think they turn around again and play well.
Okay. What does Oklahoma and Ole Miss and Georgetown have left in the tank?
Oklahoma's got, you know, they win tonight?
Yeah.
Nah, they're like 7-11 in the conference.
They got in at 6-12 last year.
I don't think they get in. They don't have the conference record for it. I don't think you can get in with 8-11 or 7-11 in the conference.
You just told the 6-12 last year. Two teams.
Oklahoma and Texas.
Oklahoma was one of them.
Wow. They got in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they can, but I don't know. Maybe their record's, you know, not indicative of what they are. They're definitely playing really good. And I had them yesterday. I had them yesterday, went up 20.
Easy.
I mean, that never happens. Look, against Tulsa, they up 20.
Yeah. It's your time.
Who else you say? Mississippi?
Yeah.
No, they're in the toilet.
Out? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Georgetown, they could do it again as well. Okay.
Well, so, by the way, the Oklahoma number's coming down. It was going towards 8 earlier today, and now it's down to 6 here at circa 6.5 other spots.
Wow.
Did you do anything with this Houston-Kansas game in the Big 12?
Houston and Kansas, let me see.
Right around 6 there for the Cougs.
Got to find the game, man. Give me a second. Oh, baby. I can't find it. Oh, there it is. Nothing. Made the game 6.
Okay.
Did nothing with it. I'm not sold on Kansas, you know. And that Peterson kid, you never know. Is that his name? Peterson, the kid that takes himself out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sold on it.
Okay.
So, nothing there.
He gave himself the nickname Bucket Jones. You know that, right?
No.
Who
is he?
That's Darren Peterson. He gave himself the nickname Bucket Jones.
Really?
I think that should make your level of respect for him go up. I mean, I'm not for giving yourself a nickname, but Bucket Jones? No. That's elite.
No, thank you. He belongs in the NBA. Stick him there.
Oh, no. Oh, that's boy. A fine. That is a fine. What do you got, 2 phones?
I don't know, 2 or 3.
You have an H on the side? What do you
have? You know, you never know when someone wants to.
More of Richie Bacciolari coming up next. We'll get his numbers for some of the Saturday's games. Projections coming up. What does he make a possible Big East title game featuring St. John's and UConn at the Garden? We'll ask him coming up next. Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can win flights and hotels anywhere you want, up to $10,000, with their King of March contest. Sign up with the code VSINMM. And we go out now to the Progressive Guest Line. Greg Hoops Peterson joins the program, host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast here at VSIN. Hoops, let's begin with the game that's going to be tipping off here anytime now in the Big East. St. John's taking on Seton Hall. Point spread, total, you have an opinion, or you had an opinion on both. What did you like earlier? Because I know you wrote about it at vsin.com.
Yep, I took the over overnight. You were seeing this around 132 in a lot of places, between 132, 132 and a half. Now I'm seeing this jump to 136, 136 and a half, and it's one of those things where you bet numbers. You don't just say, oh, I'll take the over on anything, because I made my total 135 and a half. So if you're seeing that 136 plus, I think the value is just gone. But I'm still seeing St. John's laying in that neighbor of like 7 or so, and I'm willing to lay with St. John's. I made them a 9.5 point favorite. I do think that this is a good spot with these teams. Having actually played about a week or so ago as well with St. John's, they're going to be playing at the Garden, and we've seen the track record of Rick Pitino here in the Big East tournament at the Garden. This has gone up to, in some places, even like an 8, 8.5. I'd be willing to lay that. I'd be willing to lay up to 9 with St. John's, because I do think that this team dominates on the boards, and with Senol, they just haven't been able to shoot very well outside the top 275 in terms of their 2-point and 3-point shooting percentage.
All right, how about the nightcap? UConn 15.5, 138.5 against Georgetown.
I'm going to be willing to take the points with Georgetown. We have just seen this UConn team not be able to cover spreads all season long, and Georgetown has been a little bit of a different team here recently, and the X factor for them has been Vincent Iuchuku, a true seven-footer that was a top 75 recruit. He was on that team over at USC a few years ago with Bronny James, had some health issues, very unfortunate, but I mean, ever since he's gotten back up, he's given Georgetown a little bit of punch. Gives you about 12 points, 6 boards. Is he going to be able to win the battle down low against Terrace Reed and company? No, but he can provide a little bit of resistance. We saw Julius Alafana have a big game against Villanova, and I don't know what it is, but you guys remember a few years ago, Georgetown winning the Big East tournament. They just have seemed to have success in general in this tournament, and with UConn, they've been, for lack of a better term, just not a complete team. One day, they'll shoot really well from three. The next week, they'll be a little bit off. One day, they'll be amazing with the rebounding. The next, it'll be a little bit off. They just haven't been able to put together a full 40 minutes. So I took 15 here of Georgetown.
All right.
All right, let's go Big 12 tonight. This is a number. We brought this up in the first hour of the program. Richie Bacciolieri thought the same thing. Longtime Vegas odds maker. Why is Arizona down to 3.5 against Iowa State?
Yeah, that's very curious to me as well, because for Iowa State, I mean, this is a complete team. They're in the top 20 in terms of both points scored and points allowed. This is not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. That said, I just really like what I'm seeing out of this Arizona bunch. You've got Monte Uvas Cribas along with Toby Awaka combining for about 17.5 rebounds per game. And Iowa State just doesn't have quite as much on glass. Joshua Jefferson has good versatility with like 15.7 rebounds, but we just saw this game on Big Monday a few weeks ago, albeit it was a home game for Arizona, but I mean, that was a boat racing by Arizona. Now you do have this game out there in the great state of Kansas, so that helps out Iowa State a little bit, and thank goodness gracious they did away with the glass floor. I mean, shocker, the glass floor might be a little bit slippery. Who could have thought of that? But that said, with regards to Arizona, I do think that this team just very complete. When they need to go and shoot a few threes, which they don't do very often, they're able to do so quite effectively. I actually think that Braden Burries has been one of the most improved players in all of college basketball. I just think that this Arizona team's too complete. Felt like this line should have been closer to 6, so I lead the 3 here with Arizona.
Wow, and right now, as you speak on the screen here at Circa, Arizona's down to 3 minus 105. Maybe this comes down to 2.5? Okay, at some point I'm going to have to be on Arizona as well, Greg. How about the other Big 12 game? I know you didn't write about this today on the website, but there has been some movement here. Houston was hanging around 6. Now it's some books down to 4.5 against Kansas. What would you need to bet it either way?
Yep, this is my buy point on Houston. I was willing to lay up to 5 with them. Overnight, it was hovering between 4.5, 5.5. I wanted to see where this would shake out, but I'm in on Houston. I just don't trust this Kansas team right now. Do they have upside? Yes, but it feels like since Darren Peterson has been playing 30-plus minutes, I mean, as weird as it is to say, it feels like Kansas has actually been a little bit worse. With Peterson, he just hasn't been very efficient out there. I mean, he's playing more minutes, but it feels like he's taking a lot of shots that are a little bit forced right now, and you can't do that against this Houston team. This Houston team is one of the best defenses, once again, in all of college basketball. They've been able to get Miles Zuzan to be able to fire on all cylinders, shot over 40% from three-point in conference play. And the one thing you know about Houston is that they're not going to beat themselves. Top 10 team in the country in terms of fewest turnovers on a per-possession basis. Now, Kansas does a great job in terms of disallowing clean looks, and this total of 139, in my opinion, is too high. Kansas has been one of the best teams to the under all season long. Houston's outside the top 320 in terms of total possessions per game. I felt like this total should have been closer to like a 134, 135. So I like that under. But with Houston, as long as I can get a 5 or less, I'm willing to lay it.
It appears Oklahoma's in with a win tonight. They're down to 6.5 against Arkansas, 166.5.
Yep, and I took the points here with Oklahoma. I also took that under as well, because the one thing that Arkansas does well, they guard the three well. They're a top 75 team in terms of opponents' three-point shooting percentage. Not strong on the inside, and I recognize that this is not an Oklahoma team that's going to be winning awards for their low post play or anything like that, but it is a team that's in the top 85 in terms of offensive rebound percentage, Muhammad Wagiu has given you between 6.5 to 7 rebounds per game. And for Oklahoma, what I like about this team is that they've got experience in the backcourt. Nigel Pack is a guy that played in a Final Four, shoots over 40% from three. Xavier Brown has been around the block, a guy that played really well over at St. Joe's over the last few seasons. And for Arkansas, they should have Darius Acuff back in this game. How close to 100% is he going to be? He did miss that season finale against Missouri. He's been playing through injury all season long. I do think that he's still going to be somewhat effective, but that has to be taken into account a little bit. And for Oklahoma, this is a team that has been really rolling. You mentioned it. Their season's pretty much on the line with being able to win these games in the SEC tournament. Personally, I think that you need to reward winning. And Oklahoma, they've actually done a little bit of that down the stretch, unlike a lot of these bubble teams. But I was willing to take the 6 here with Oklahoma to go along with that under of 167 or so.
All right. So this fits tonight with what question I'm going to ask you when you have an opinion on the game. Number one, your level of concern with these teams that had a week off that received a bye into the semis, like Hawaii and also in the Big West, American Athletic, and also the WAC. And you like Hawaii, but what's your level of concern with these teams with this week off and a bye into the semis, please?
I think it's a little bit situation by situation. A team that plays really up-tempo, a team that is really looking to push tempo, I think that that actually helps them out a little bit more of a rhythm team like Arkansas, a team that shoots a lot of threes, a team that they just want to be sort of in balance. I think that it affects them a little bit more. Teams that rely upon their low post play, they're looking to pound the ball down low, you sort of know what you're going to be able to expect out of them. Like Hawaii, that's a great example. A team that they're going to be relying upon being able to hit the boards, they rely upon their physicality. That's a team where I think that there's a little bit less concern rather than a team like Arkansas that needs to be in rhythm with their offense. So I do think that it's very much situational. That's going to be holding true for the NCAA tournament as well, because you obviously have some of these teams that are wrapping up their conference tournaments here this weekend. You have other teams that they won their conference tournament almost a week ago. So I do think that it's very much situation by situation, but I'm much more willing to trust in the teams that rely upon low post play and rebounding coming off of a long break rather than teams that rely upon guard play.
This Hawaii game tonight, the numbers kind of been all over the map here. I think you wrote about it at 3.5. It got to 5.5 about an hour ago at a lot of books. Now back down to 4.5. Are they still playable in your opinion?
Yes, anything below 6 is playable, in my opinion, on Hawaii. I really like this defense. They have been a top 30 team all season long in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. Cal State Fullerton has just had a massive disadvantage on the glass as well. I was talking about how good Hawaii is down low. They're 26th in the country in terms of rebound percentage. Cal State Fullerton is outside the top 275. Now, one thing that Cal State Fullerton does a great job of is generating turnovers. Top 40 is the turnovers generated on a per-possession basis. You do have a Hawaii team that has had some turnover concerns, so that is something that needs to be taken into account. But I think that Hawaii is going to be able to do a nice job winning from within in this game. Fullerton has been a solid three-point shooting team, but Hawaii, while they do such a great job in the post, they're also one of the best three-point shooting defenses in all of college basketball as well. So even at the 5 that I'm seeing in a lot of spots, I was able to grab this at 3.5. I'd still be willing to lay a 5 with the Rainbow Warriors.
Okay. What'd you do with Irvine and Northridge?
Yep, this is one where with Northridge and Irvine, I just had to take the under. With Irvine, this team is so dominant defensively. There are 365 Division I college basketball teams, and they are number one in points allowed on a per-possession basis away from them. Now, I'm not willing to lay the 4 with Irvine because they are not good at the free throw line. They are outside the top 300 in terms of their free throw shooting percentage. Northridge is actually worse. Northridge is outside the top 340. That actually helps you out even further to the under, because let's say that you get into a foul fest when you're typically expecting like 10 points to go on the board in the final minute. You might not get those because these teams throw up brick after brick after at the free throw line. So I think that that helps you out greatly, but this Irvine team does a great job getting after it. Both of these teams turn the ball over quite a bit as well. Outside the top 225 in terms of ball security, that total's now gotten up above 151. So all the better. I do like the under in Irvine versus Northridge.
We're going to continue. Very good. With Greg Hoops Peterson, host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast right here at VSiN. We're going to get his thoughts on UCLA and Sparty a little bit later on tonight. And we're going to run down some of the numbers that are on the board for tomorrow as well. What does he make of Michigan laying a monstrous number against Wisconsin? Find out next.
This is VSiN, The Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX. And right now, their King of March promotion is giving bettors a shot at free trips worth up to $10,000. Use the promo code VSiNMM to get started with ProfitX. A longtime friend of the show and the network, Bruce Marshall, joins the program again. Love talking to him. Love listening to his analysis on college basketball games. And he joined us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Probably going to be going to the Big West game a little bit later on tonight. Brucey, stellar appearance with us on Wednesday. Let's run it back here again tonight. Let's begin with Purdue and Nebraska. Don't ask me or anybody else how Purdue did not cover that game last night. Up by 20-plus pretty much the entire game, and yet Northwestern got the money. What do you make of this, and what are the overall numbers on Painter in conference with numbers ATS?
Well, Painter has been, this is unbelievably bad. And I guess now that we look back at it, we shouldn't be surprised that Purdue got backdoored last night. He is 1-17. Matt Humans tells me his last 18 against the spread in Big Ten tournament action, 1-17. Now that includes 2023 when Purdue actually won the tournament, but did not cover a game. So they have been complete point spread poison in this tournament. Now, here's another. It's maybe not quite Davis and Santa Barbara here, but, I mean, they're favored here tonight over a team that I thought generally played better than them this year. I know Purdue got them in overtime at Lincoln last month, but I thought, Purdue never – Oscar Clough, the big kid from South Dakota State, he did have a decent game against Northwestern, but he's been a massive disappointment this year. And they really thought he was going to be able to deliver more – consistent scoring in the post that they haven't had since Zach Edey was there. Ruffin Wren is a good banger there, but I mean, he's just, serviceable, not spectacular. They could have used Clef doing more, and there's too much pressure on these guards. I think Hoiberg gets them tonight, and I think, they could win this thing outright too, so maybe even on the money line. But Nebraska, for me, that's for sure. I'm not going to bet on Purdue in the Big Ten tournament. No way.
Okay. How about the other game tonight? UCLA and Michigan State.
Yeah, something tells me UCLA may not get past this one. They've done enough to get secure in the field, which about a month ago we weren't so sure. And, Cronin had those problems with them, Jamerson and all that. But they've straightened things out. Donovan Dent has actually put up some really good numbers here in the last months, and he had been sort of a disappointment before then. However, they did get whipped at Michigan State when they were back there earlier in the season. Spears is putting up some really big numbers, and I think Izzo gets UCLA here tonight. I mean, UCLA, they got Rutgers last night, but, they're out. They are not in Pauley Pavilion. They had very few of their big efforts came away from Westwood this year. 5.5's not enough, so I think Michigan State.
What do you make overall of Izzo's club this year? Of course, this will depend on the draw that we're going to get on Selection Sunday, but if it's the right draw for them, do you think this is the team capable here of going on a big run?
I think they could. It's just because, Izzo's famous for doing that. Then he stalls later in the tournament. It's funny. He's only won one national title. It seems like he should have won more because he's been to the Final Four several other times, and he's gone further than he should have. I think they probably get to the second weekend and maybe possibly Elite Eight. I don't see them as a Final Four team. They were just a little bit too erratic for me, and Fears, for as good as he can be, he has also had some games where he's been a bit flighty too. So I think the potential is there to cause some trouble, but beyond the Sweet 16, I think is asking a lot of this team.
Do you think Duke struggles again tonight? Clemson, Kenshin doubles.
I think so. I think Caleb Foster's absence is big, and the other frontliner too is out of there as well. But Foster in particular, he was really the glue guy there. And to be without him, we saw last night. I mean, I thought they were going to lose that game. Then they got the lead and Florida State came back on them. I mean, they're not the same team without him. And as good as Boozer is, he really leaned on those two guys, and especially Foster. So I think that's a negative. Now, I wonder about Clemson tonight after that hair raiser they had. And this is now, I could see Clemson they're safely in the field right now, so I don't think you might get a special effort. I like Florida State a lot last night. I like Clemson here, but not as much as going against Duke last night. Maybe Duke gets, you know, that shakes them out of, you know, they needed to get awakened like that in the tournament. But I think Foster's absence, as long as he's not there, I'm kind of looking against Duke. So that's how I would do it today.
All right. You going to ride this Oklahoma train?
Yes, I would. And I think they can win this thing outright. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at the predictive models. I mean, they're up to close to a 50% chance to get in as an at-large. This is a remarkable turnaround from about a month ago, and I thought Porter Mosier was ready to get fired. Mm-hmm. He saved his job. I think the fact the rest of the SEC bubble teams, Texas, Missouri, you know, they've sort of wobbled here down the stretch, left some room there for Oklahoma. This is an example of a team that is built through the portal, but they don't always coagulate in November or December. It's taken this team most of the season, and then finally it started to click. And give Nigel Pack, who's had, like we said before, like three different careers in college, Kansas mm-hmm. State, Miami, now here at Oklahoma. He scored 20-plus in five of the last six. Xavier Brown, the transfer from St. Joe's, that is the kid from Alabama. I mean, it just took this team a while to coagulate, and I think they are, if they can get to the final on Sunday, I think that'll be enough to get them in the at-large, I think. Now, Arkansas did get them earlier this year, but it was close, and it was when Oklahoma was losing games close in January. I'm a little worried about the third game in three nights in Oklahoma, and now Arkansas is playing for the first time, so at some point that might catch up, but Oklahoma's playing better every game the last couple of weeks. I'm going to ride them here, and let's see. I think they could win it outright. I would not be shocked, but definitely plus the points for sure.
Very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, longtime college basketball handicapper and better, Bruce Marshall, with Wager Talk and the Gold Sheet. What do you make of the Mountain West tonight with Nevada catching 6.5 against Utah State? Nice win last night for the Wolfpack. Do you want to back them again here?
Yeah, I'm going to back Nevada. By the way, one development to keep an eye on. Now, we thought a couple of these coaching dominoes would fall. Wes Miller gets out in Cincinnati. Capel looks like he's going to stick at the Pittsburgh. Those are both spots where Jared Calhoun has been mentioned as possibilities. I think he is a definite candidate at Cincinnati, and I have the players hear that, too, at Utah State. Is it going to act as a distraction? I don't know. It didn't yesterday. But now that Miller is gone, maybe it'll act a little more of a distraction tonight. Utah State did play well yesterday, but UNLV is kind of flighty. Listen, something is different about Nevada here in the last month. That game they won last night against Grand Canyon is the sort of game they lost earlier in the year. These guards, they relentlessly attacked the bucket last night. And I was really impressed with what Weems did and what Comer did. And, of course, Camper, we know what he can do. I'd also mention Kyle Lowry, the kid, the NAIA transfer from the Masters. He hit a big three. They didn't shoot many threes yesterday, but he hit a big one. This kid was a 23-24-point-per-game scorer at NAIA, and he is he can do more scoring-wise this year than Alford has asked him to do because he's got all these high-usage guards there. This kid could be the secret weapon for Nevada. I think they can win this game. So they beat Utah State a couple weeks ago, and it's the way they beat Utah State. It's the way they beat Grand Canyon last night. We know they blew the doors off the Air Force in the first game. I think Nevada is a live dog that can win this game outright tonight, and I'm taking the Wolfpack.
I was impressed. I mentioned it before you came on. Grand Canyon was in the bonus 5-6 minutes into the second half, and Nevada still won. All right, you're the commissioner of the Big West. You're going tonight. What do you think of the Big West semis?
Well, I kind of like Irvine there against Northridge. Northridge surprised. I mean, they got UCSD's number, apparently. That kind of surprised me last night. That was a hat trick they got over UCSD. Irvine's different. Because of Kyle Evans, he is an interesting stat category there. He leads the nation in block shots, but I think I've mentioned this before. He is not a jumping jack, but his timing is so impeccable. In blocking shots, and he just sort of closes down the interior. Northridge is going to have to hit the shots really hot outside to do it. The nightcap there, I kind of think Fullerton. I know they're a dog here. Yeah. I think the job Dietrich Taylor did and his staff to uncover some of these guys from D2, NAIA, Joshua Ward, Seaman, these guys are good, and they score about 84 per game. And I know the interesting thing, when Hawaii plays in Henderson, they got there's fans in the Valley for Hawaii, so they'll have some support there tonight. But I would give Fullerton a look. That was impressive. They beat a good Davis team last night. I think we're going to get an all-Orange County final tomorrow in the Big West.
Strong. Hey, Bruce, yeah. I know you're going to hang around for one more segment. In about a minute here, let's go whack. Cal Baptist Lane about 8, 8.5 tonight against Utah Tech. You like the favorite?
I do, although Utah Tech's not playing bad. This kid Porter, 6'8 power forward, 25 last night, Ethan Porter in their game for Utah Tech out of St. George. But Dominique Daniels has been on fire, and so has Cal Baptist the last four winning and covering. He is he's a one-man show, Daniels. And they've been covering numbers lately, so I think Cal Baptist gets there. And this should. We'll see if Utah Valley beats UTA, which they should. That's a pretty good final, Utah Valley and Cal Baptist tomorrow night, if that's the final. By the way, both of those teams schools are moving to the Big West next year, so this is the last we'll see them in the WAC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. All right, hang tight. We're going to run it back one more segment here with Bruce Marshall, longtime college basketball handicapper and better. He is with Wager Talk and the Gold Sheet, and he is kind enough to hang out again for about a half an hour with us here on a Friday here. Paulie calls it the best day of the year, certainly for the college basketball season. He's on the Progressive guest line. We got to get his thoughts on the Ivy League tomorrow, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, 8 o'clock out here, bright and early, Cornell taking on Yale. And also, we're going to throw some Saturday numbers at him. Like, what does he make of Michigan Lane 12.5 against Wisconsin? We'll ask him coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.